So she said you had a bad experience on camera. So who are you anyway?
I'm Andrew Boardman. I work on acrylic, which is a similar related project.
And who's hanging out here drinking, eating pizza late at night? I heard this is lunchtime for your team or something like that.
We're on a fairly late schedule. I am. Yeah. I just had lunch.
So we're with a spark. They call it Sparkle. They're calling it Sparkle at least as of 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Yes.
So. The top secret team. We're going to hold this video for the PDC, by the way. So, you guys are showing off your stuff next week for the first time, right?
The Sparkle stuff is. The acrylic stuff has been out in beta for a while.
Yep.
In CTP.
Yep. And we had an interview with the acrylic team. So who else is here? We're here. Let me just. Nobody wants to talk. These are devs. They're all shy.
I'm Kenny Young.
Yep. And what do you do here?
I'm an architect on Sparkle.
On Sparkle? Mm-hmm. So what is Sparkle?
Sparkle is a tool that you can use to make applications that use the best of what Avalon or the Windows presentation framework has to offer.
Okay. So I finally am going to have some tools instead of having to write XAML code by hand.
Absolutely.
No more Notepad?
No more Notepad.
All right.
If you want to look at the XAML, you can look at it, but we're hoping that most people won't need to look at it anymore.
Cool. And who are you?
Oh, that's me.
What's that? Who's hiding around the corner here?
Sorry.
And what's your name?
I'm Pete Farley. I'm the GPM of Sparkle.
Ah. So you're the guy who gets blamed or he gets the credit?
I guess. Yeah. We've been going for
mostly the blame.
Mostly the blame.
Maybe,
pick up the pizza, right?
Maybe 3 years on this thing. So yeah, it's been an interesting journey to finally show this product to some people. So cool. I think we're going to have some fun.
And who are you?
Oh, I'm Sam Wen. I'm a PM on Sparkle.
Excellent. And so you guys are coming out of the woodwork next week, right?
Yep, we're going to show, if not give.
Okay.
But that's the way we are in this group.
Yeah. Very cool.
So I think Wednesday is our day. We'll have a keynote, and then we'll have an hour, and then a couple of other people are doing ours as well to show the feature set.
Very cool. Are you going to take me down and show it to me?
Yep, these two guys will give you an intro of the demo that you're asking for.
Yep.
They'll have it ready for you, and you can finally see it.
Cool, let's eat some pizza, and then we'll come down and get the demo. Thanks. Based on all the cool artwork on here. So we're in the Sparkle team office, right?
Yes.
And
cool.
Who are you?
I'm Manuel Clement, and I'm a product designer on Sparkle.
Product designer. So what part did you play here? What's your job?
I'm working on the user interface, so basically interaction design as well as branding visual design on the application.
Okay.
So a lot of the palettes I would work on, I were connecting the actual XAML bits, and I'm trying to experiment with that new way of having a designer as part of the development team checking in, you know, getting code reviews and breaking the builds.
Now, I don't know too much about Sparkle, but I've heard that it's one of the best, the biggest .NET applications here at Microsoft, right?
I believe so. Maybe John can chime in here.
I don't think anybody's measured it yet.
But it's one of.
I don't know
if it's the biggest, but it's
we had the
pretty big.
We started from scratch, and the thing is all managed, all C# from the ground zero. And most projects don't start that way. And so you're done with trying to rewrite something, and that just hasn't happened yet.
Right. Now, who are you?
I'm John Gossman. I'm an architect on Sparkle.
And an architect is? What's your job like?
It's a fancy title for programmer.
Okay.
It means I'm old.
Old and over the hill.
Yeah.
Oh, let's call him the architect. So what parts of Sparkle do we see your fingerprints on?
Well, the main thing that you're going to see is basic features is the XAML loader, the XAML editor, things like that. But I've had my fingers in everything. I was the second dev hired on the team. Manuel was here right from the beginning. Manuel was one of the first people on the whole team. He's the user.
Yeah. And what was the original, since you were on the original team, what was the original vision? What drove Microsoft to build this thing? Right.
So the fact is that with WinFX and the Windows Presentation Foundation, code name Avalon, there are new capabilities on the platform, such as rich graphics, having 3D, 2D, video, audio, and all that.
Animation.
All these kind of require tools, you know? So it just makes sense that we build some tools so that creative people and designers can build things on top of this platform without, you know, pulling their hair out. like out of their heads. So we built a tool that they would feel comfortable in, and we always thought of the designer first. Of course, developers are gonna have, you know, fun with it, but in a way, it's a high-end design tool. We're trying to get the pro, you know, pro designer market to be excited about this.
So, you know, really, you can kind of see the central thing of Sparkle sitting right here, because I can't draw. I have no artistic talent. I can't even see UI. When they change the buttons and they, you know, for new thing, I'm like, I don't know, it's a different color. What's the difference? Manuel is just naturally, he's artistic, blah, blah, blah.
We can tell that by all his artwork
as
well. Right?
You know, I mean, I can't even
see. I got an 8-track here. And the guy got that one, that baby, you gotta put it on the camera.
The Escape from the Gremlins?
I like that guy right there.
And so the whole point is that traditionally people, when they build an application, they build a UI, they get somebody like Manuel, and he draws it. And then a guy like me looks at it, and it can't even really see what it is, and I program it up, and then it doesn't come out, and Manuel complains about it, doesn't look right, and the customer is like, well, and then we go around, and eventually we get it somewhere near. And the whole point with Avalon is that you should be able to build these things in one system. You don't have to go from Photoshop to Win32.
Yeah.
Or
like when I first saw Windows Vista, or codenamed Longhorn back then, it was director movies, right?
Yeah.
And the director movies, so you did the director, you know, a guy like you or a girl like you,
yeah.
did the director movies.
Yeah, I know these guys.
See,
my friends, yeah, they're dreaming about how
they do beautiful director movies, and then they hand it over to the dev, and the dev goes, let's have some reality discussions here.
That's right.
You can't do all that fun, whizzy stuff, you know? So
it takes a long time, too, and just iteration, having the best design in the application, being able to build yourself in your own office, you know, at late hours, the creative times. Just allows you as a designer to realize, well, you know what, this design sucks, it's no good, because you didn't have to wait 6 months for the build to come back.
Yeah.
You really see it right there, you can try new ideas. So that's a great, great improvement.
So can we see it?
Yes, let's look at it. So first of all, I'm going to...
let me get my tripod in there. Okay.
I'm going to open an application that was built using Sparkle. It's a WCP, WPCPF.
Windows Presentation Management
Avalon application, and as you can see, so it is pretty, you know, it has a bunch of graphics in it, and it was put together very quickly in a couple hours. But if I resize the application, you can see that there's a little bit more going on than this, but just being a video, it's actually resizing. There's what we call a wrap panel, which is a container that gets this item to wrap like this, and then, you know, if there's no more space, there's also a scroll bar. I have a scroll viewer control here.
Yep.
This text here is a real text box. It's not some kind of pink files that's there. I can change this from code, whatever I want. In the background, you have just a viewport 3D with a bunch of shapes in it. So it's just kind of a demonstration of technology rather than usefulness. These babies actually are radio buttons.
Wow.
And then there's a big blank here, because people say, well, radio buttons, you got a bullet in it, you have to have a bullet, otherwise it's not a radio button. While I look at radio button, I see a bunch of code that I can reuse. Radio buttons are good because they know how to exclude each other when one is selected. One goes up, the other ones go down. And
right.
You can play with this, and based on these states and events, you can trigger different timelines in Avalon.
Okay.
So this example here has no code whatsoever.
No code.
So
you haven't even gotten involved here yet, right?
No. He doesn't get to do all the fun stuff anymore.
No command line for you anymore.
So you haven't seen nothing. If you want to see something fun, you look at the screen again. And the fun part is that these actually are 3D. They're 3D objects that are inside the template of my radio buttons. And if I trigger one of the storyboards, I click on it, whoops, it pops out.
I got a backup for that.
If I click another one, they know how to say, you know what, you're not focused anymore, so you go away. You're not checked anymore, so you go away. And then because it's just retemplating existing controls, as I said, you reuse pieces of logic from Avalon, which are keyboard accelerators, keyboard shortcuts, accessibility features. So if I use my keyboards here, I can go check, 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 check. I can just navigate through the list in cloth-like fashion. And just, again, no code, just by triggering this animation back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, you can see that the objects dynamically go back and forth, okay? And when people think about a timeline, even designers, they think, well, there are hard-coded keyframes that can't be good, I can't code against these things. They need to just clear these ideas in their heads. We do have a timeline in our UI. If I open Sparkle, you see it.
So this is Sparkle.
This is Sparkle right here.
Okay.
The same project is just open. You don't need to compile to see all this fancy stuff. It's just part of the thing. There's a timeline as well. But again, the fun thing about this timeline is actually it creates animations
take me around here and tell me what.
All right.
Give me a a tour
around
Sparkle here.
So the first time you open the tool, you can tell it's more of an artistic tool than kind of an application building tool. But so you have tools like selection, sub-selection, Bezier curve tools, and things like that. There's some 3D things going on here. I can show you that in a second. You have a project palette that shows you a bunch of what you have in your project. They're files, XAML files, C# files.
So that's where like Visual Studio has.
It is Visual Studio.
That is Visual Studio.
But that's MS Build, which is the same build system that Visual Studio 2005 is using.
Okay.
So that's part of the key, and we can show you later. You can actually open up Sparkle in Sparkle.
That's trippy.
Well, maybe not in 2 days.
That's referential. Too referential for me. Okay, good.
Our whole project is just a project like this one.
Yep.
Then you got a bunch of controls that are listed in library here. There's more palettes than what's open here, but this is just a few of them. So you have things like button, canvas, checkbox, and if I scroll down, you got a few million. And there are you probably have 100 or a couple hundreds, but toggle button, everything. Basically, it means that somebody like me, a designer working on the user interface, has access to the real controls, not some kind of template for a drawing application, but actual controls. And if I want to make a radio button behave completely differently in the way it's presented to the screen, I can just override the template like what I did here.
Yeah.
So here, let's go and get inside this this container here.
All right. Now, what do you call this area?
This area is the artboard, I guess.
Okay.
So you can zoom in and out. You know, I can go back to where I was before. So if I select one of these babies here.
Now you just demonstrated something. Lets you build resolution independent UIs.
Well, yeah. I mean, Avalon is resolution independent, DPI independent, vector based, accepts bitmaps as well, but it's vector based UI. And the artboard itself is you're editing an application that's DPI independent, but Sparkle itself as well is entirely built on top of Avalon. They're all vector based. Okay, so all the visuals that are in Sparkle, all these icons, the palettes themselves, all the controls were built using our own tool.
Right. Now, what's this at the bottom here?
That's
property.
That's kind of like the if you don't have any kind of designer UI in the tool to find the properties you want.
Yeah.
Maybe some extra properties that developers have created. You can go inside the properties palette and you see the phone book type thing.
I noticed your scroll bars have this nice gradient on them.
Right.
Was that done in Sparkle?
Yes.
So this tool was built using the tool?
Yes, it was.
Wow.
Ever since the first builds of Sparkle, we have poured XAML bits from our own XAML surface into the source itself. And that's how I go and I either do that or tweak by hand sometimes when I do just a little change, but it's kind of fun to have access to the bits and they're never dead. You can always go back and change the visuals of them. Wow. And that's just beautiful.
And you don't need to talk to a dev to change the bits.
Yeah, in fact, generally I just kind of call them over and say, oh, like, check out this cool thing.
How does the devs feel about that?
Well,
you're used to having control, right? And in a dev team, right?
We're very happy with it. I mean, because Manuel can do things that none of the rest of us can do. So basically, when a dev builds one of these dialogues now, they just kind of like put in images and squares and things like that. And then like, Manuel. And he goes and draws something, and it checks it in. Everybody on the team has to do a code review before they do a check-in. So Manuel has to do a code review, but other than that, he's got exactly the same check-in rights as everybody else. And it's source code. XAML is source code just as much as C# is source code.
Yeah.
This really the new kind of dev team.
Yep, it is. Yeah. In fact, when we had these bash days, we call them, and basically just for one day, drop what you're doing, just use the tool, build something cool. John and I with a couple other people on the team, we built like a search engine front end, and it was Amazon.com front end. That was really cool, and it just took a few hours. We actually checked in files, and it was cool. So definitely,
We had AppleBash. We got one designer on the team. And so when we got ready to do this bash and everybody's going to have prizes, I'm like, I know how to win this. I recruited Manuel onto my team. And then Alan and I wrote a little tiny little bit of code, and then he just made it look pretty. And of course, there's a couple of pretty artistic devs on our team, but Manuel still got those beats. So.
Yeah. Cool. And what is this piece down here?
That's a appearance palette. It's where people can change appearance properties. So things like background of objects and the border brush, foreground, all of this is actually a dynamic list, so that if you select any control, all the custom properties can show up.
And then we have a timeline. And yeah. What is the timeline? You'll probably show
I'll show you in a second, actually. Let's look at what timeline does. First of all, you have this visual tree that shows you your document root, which could be any kind of container, and it shows a little container icon. And then it has text block, rectangle, blah, blah, blah. All just Avalon controls. If I go and select that one of my radio buttons and change its template, I can go and go edit my template, okay? Yep. Template is basically how visually that thing's gonna be on the screen. That contains also animations, triggers, and things like that, states.
Right.
If I go and edit that, now I'm actually, my timeline now shows me only what's in here, which is a viewport 3D, which is like a view onto 3D, has a 3D camera, and has a bunch of stuff like ambient light, directional light, and using the same appearance palette that's used for 2D to change colors, you can change color properties in 3D as well. And so, you know, we've done a lot of work in trying to merge the two worlds together, 3D and 2D, so that it doesn't feel like there's extra 20 palettes just for 3D.
Right. So, now, where do I see the spinning effect that you got when you clicked on it?
Actually, it's here. And so, as I said earlier, timeline does not mean that you're hard-coding keyframe, then you're dooming yourself, like you're shooting yourself in the foot that you can't code against the objects, i.e. what people used to, designers used to. Here, I have my visual tree. And then next to it, I have this time tree, which is basically the storyboard engine in Avalon. And storyboard does not contain objects, as in it doesn't contain my elements, it just contains changes in time on different properties. So here, height and width of my viewport 3D is changing. So if I scrub, you can see that in real time is actually changing here. So I can preview in real time what's going to happen next.
Instead, so you're just changing the timeline,
yes.
And it shows
just like on a VCR. And I'm just basically scrubbing into the values, and I can see that height and width are changing. And the fun thing is that there's no keyframe at time zero. It means wherever you are, whatever height and width you are, animate from here to these hard-coded values, my keyframe.
Yeah.
That point is actually very important. This is really innovative, and you can stack as many timelines as you want on top of each other. You can tell them to morph inside each other, from each other, or just compose themselves. If it's different properties, they can animate different properties.
Right.
So,
now, what can you programmatically change once he gives you an animation like this? What how do you call this? How do you change it programmatically?
Well, with Avalon, everything the results of what he's going to produce here are going to go out as XAML. But XAML and C# are equal partners in the development process. So any object there is just an object in the C# codebehind file too. So we can talk to that and do things. So a lot of times the thing is, the key is we don't want to talk to that stuff. We want to make our code as abstract as possible. Go, you know, the business logic type code or whatever that is. And then just put up the minimal tendrils. It's like, this is the model. Now, here's, go and make the view for that thing. And it's all up to Manuel at that point.
Yeah, it's data binding. So basically, you have the object model somewhere, and from my set of the world, I can, if I want or not, bind to these things, bind commands onto their model, what the developer is working on, the palettes, for example. And I can remove pieces of UI, and generally it compiles and still runs. Because that their model is so, they don't have any names or ID for objects, it's just very separate. It just knows how to do a few things, you know, many things, but, you know, separate from what the UI is taking care of.
So, for example, the project system, that was done with the same way. And underneath, there's an MS Build object model. It doesn't know anything about icons or tree controls or anything. It knows about files and how projects are built and that sort of stuff. And then we just expose properties off those and say, you know, here's what the things in the list are. And then he can build a list box that shows, or a tree that shows all the items. And for this type, he's going to put this icon and that type of that icon and that sort of thing.
Yeah. So here and there, just to show you that it's real, what
we
I have...
We could go for 20 hours on this thing.
Yeah, what I hear... Yeah, there's like almost 4 years of work on this thing, so there's definitely a lot of features. If I switch to my XAML code, I can see that it's real. I have a transform group that translates, and I have gradient stops, and, you know, it's just exactly what the developer would have written if he followed the WinFS SDK. And so, as a designer, I can.
If you change something in the code here, it changes in the editor, in the
Sure does, yeah. Anyone change it or something? Sure. Yeah. So I can change, for example, the width of the document. So if I change the width to be 1,500 pixels, and there's a gradient in the background. That background, I have a linear gradient on the background, and then I can see that there's two numbers. Yes, what I'm going to do. So here, for example, this is ARGB, so alpha, red, green, blue. So if I say this, it's going to be beautiful now. No, it won't be. You can go back. And now it's blue behind. You know, so it's blue gradient. Basically, one of the stops is like this. But to show you how we have this going, for example, if I select back this property, if I want to change it in the UI, yeah. You can see that if I select my root document, I can see my background node here. And then it is a linear gradient brush. There's all kind of brushes you can do. And then there's two color stops in there. I can create another color stops if I want to, make it white, for example. And then it updates here in real time, okay? And if I want, I can show the XAML view again, just to say that we're real for real. My new gradient my gradient stop is here. That was the white one.
Yeah.
Gets created, you know.
But notice the thing is he said that a developer could have written the same code. Well, the thing is when you're dealing with like Win32 and you get buttons and a couple things like that, it's no problem. But here you've got colors in floating point space, you've got splines, you've got these animations that have these very careful positioning things. The only way you can do that is some sort of visual, what you see, graphical thing. Nobody can calculate the spline in their head to get the thing to look right.
Yeah.
So even a developer, maybe not as fluently as Manuel, is going to want a tool like this to edit these basic resources when they build their UIs.
Very cool. Keep going. Yeah. Well, this is awesome stuff.
Well, hey, you know, just like my project here, XAML and Avalon, all vector-based and all that, Sparkle's UI is also vector-based, so we could. We have a feature called the Workspace Zoom, zoomable workspace configuration. So basically it is something that's going to work very well on high DPI screens, where if you have too much space for your palettes and you have high enough DPI, you can zoom out. You can basically reduce the size of these palettes. You basically have a slider up there, and you can say, you know what, I really want these palettes to be pretty big there because, you know, my scene is smaller and I really have a few palettes on the screen. Let's say you're just drawing and you have color and tools. You can just zoom them up like crazy and have a childlike toy on the screen. Yeah. Feel like a palette, and you're just having fun with it. It's really kind of fun.
Well, it's accessible too, because if my eyesight's not that great, I can still use it.
You know, on the other hand as well, you can make it minuscule if you want to, and that, you know, what it is, I've seen this thing work on the newer screens, the 144 DPI screens. Most high-end laptops have them, a lot of workstations have them now, and not talking about the 200 plus DPI screens that are coming out in a couple of years. The thing looks gorgeous, even zoomed out all the way, small, tiny, it's still very readable because it's almost like print.
Yeah.
So then the feature makes a lot of sense. And the fact that we have it in advance is a great...
Do that again.
He's apologizing for it because it's really cool. This is the feature that when you do the demo, at that point, everybody goes, ooh, ooh, and it's like you won. You can just stop the demo at that point.
Yeah.
They see that and they're like, oh, I understand what Avalon's about.
This shows, what Avalon's about.
But it actually is useful, too.
Yeah. It's very useful because if you have a 200 DPI screen like Bill Hill has in his office, the icons are way too small to read.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and actually, you know, if it's well calibrated, if Windows knows it's a 200 DPI screen, it will be the same size as this, but it will be bloody, it will be beautiful. It'll be just sharp. Just like you get in a game like Doom or something. Your gun is awesome, but if you crank up the resolution, the gun's not going to be minuscule. It's going to be the same size, but much sharper. It's exactly the same concept here, but people have to switch their minds a little bit because it's, you know, a new way of building UI.
Yep.
Yep.
What else?
Well, we got...
What are some of the drawing tools?
Yeah, so, for example, if I create a new project here, I can create a control library if I want to, for example. But
okay.
There you go. We can use a language, can be used C# or VB on the project as well.
Okay.
So if I have this, my document...
Keep in mind, we also had an interview with the acrylic team.
Okay.
and they were showing me how to do really beautiful bitmaps.
Yeah.
And they were saying, well, you should talk to the Sparkle guys about what to do when you bring in a bitmap from acrylic, right?
Yeah, well, actually, in acrylic, you can produce bitmaps and import them in if you don't need the live object model, you know, talking to different strokes. You can also export XAML files directly from acrylic, bring them in, and then they're all elements in Avalon, so you can go and code against the names of these, the IDs of these strokes or whatever they are, like the hair of change the color hair of a character or something like that. You can just write C# against them. Pretty cool. So here, drawing tools wise, you know, as I showed you, you can change the color of things. So for example, here we have things like, so we can draw things like rectangles, so, you know, pretty boring, but you can change real time the corner radius. It's actually radius X and radius Y properties in Avalon. And then the object can drag it around. Things we can do is change against the fill color here. So if I want to be a linear gradient brush, now I get a linear gradient brush. If I want to move around how this thing's oriented, I can use the brush transform tool. And this is going to give me a box that I can stretch around of the actual brush, not the object, but the brush. And they behave the same exact way as the object changes as well. So you can rotate it and all that. Real time, you can also change.
This is all .NET.
All .NET. Yeah.
This is an object. In the code behind, in the C#, now, he just by do that, he created a thing that says, you know, rectangle 1. And the programmer could go in and now and refer to that object from that point.
Yeah, so here I got this paint. I can change so that there's no black, but I want it to be a white stop. So now it's two white stops. You don't see anything. If I create a stop in the middle and make that gray, stops are basically, you know, color changes within your line. I get 3 points, white, gray, white. Now if I stretch it down, what I can do also is tell it to repeat itself. So, you know, this is more like a 1970s crazy flick type thing, but if I reflect my gradient, it's gonna reflect itself back and forth. I can also repeat it. If I say repeat, now it's gonna repeat it so that the last stop, it's gonna come back to the beginning right away. So now I can stretch it down to the middle here, and you can see everybody's like, whoa, you know? So pretty fun. Wow. You can also do this on radial gradients. So this is the trippy one. You know, I scale it down. I'm just scaling the brush itself. I say repeat. Now it's gonna repeat itself. And if I do this, you know, it gets real funny here.
Wow.
Get more pattern patterns and all that. So don't cross it. So there you go. But
this is what happens to your art department's productivity. Yeah. You play with this for
it's beautiful. But anyways,
they already play with it in Photoshop. It's just that when they get done with it in Photoshop, we look and say, well, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
But so the big thing here is the speed at which it renders in real time as you tweak it.
Yeah. Now, do you have a supercomputer in here?
The CPU is pretty fast, 3.4 gigahertz. But the video card is actually a GeForce FX 5050, which was great a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Now it's actually, I don't know, $50 card or something.
$50 card.
Yeah. Probably, if you can find it still, because it's still AGP and all that.
Okay.
But what's happening is it's using GPU. It's using, you know, I think they have some pixel shaders for radial gradients, and sure enough, it's using that just like games. You know, so you get really high frame rate things where usually it would just choke down after you make three of them in software. So, yeah, drawing capabilities, you have composing as well. So if I create another one on top, and this guy, I really want him to be just a straight, just a regular gradient.
Oh, sorry. Can you make it transparent?
Yeah, so here, for example, yeah, I can make one of the stops transparent, for example. So now one stop is transparent. And then he's got like this. I don't want it to repeat, so to pad like this. Now I got a gradient on top that goes from goes from red, for example. Okay, so okay. All my designer friends that are watching this will think, you know, he's got no skills. But this is just a tech demo, friends. You know, you get some red and some repeating gradients. But as you can see in real time, you get really good composition engine here. And also, what you'll hear more about from probably Kenny later is that there's a layout system going on as well here, so that my rectangle here is stuck to the top, stuck to the left. So there's like a fixed margin. You can see the linked chain here, but to the bottom here, it's not. It's actually like a discontinued line. So that if I resize my main window, it's not going to stretch itself because it's not stuck to the bottom. If I select it again and say, you know what, you are stuck to the bottom as well. Now if I select my root container and resize, now it follows. The distance between here and here is fixed.
So
and you can go very, very, you can make everything in Sparkle is done this way, using grid container and margins.
We can go on and on with this thing. The thing is you know, that I've been getting ready for PDC, and I remember when Olay 2 came out, which is like, I don't know, 92, back when Manuel was in grade school.
Yeah.
And they said that Olay 2 was like learning a third of an operating system.
Yeah.
Well, this stuff is like learning a third of an operating system. The only difference is operating systems are 10 times bigger than they were in 1992. Yeah. So there's all these features. There's animation, there's 2D graphics, there's 3D graphics. You know, you can do a whole book on just any one of these subjects. Layout, there's a build system, there's projects, there's, I mean, there's the timeline, which is part of animation, that is a subject of its own. There's triggers, there's states, there's control templates, there's styling. It's a huge system, and we don't even know what people are going to do with it. I mean, we've done our things and more people. That's a great thing about going to PDC and after, is more and more people are going to start to play with Avalon, more and more people are going to start to play with Sparkle, and...
Now, each of these things, is that an object that programmatically you could do something, like turn it on or off? Or
Everything. It's an object system. Everything's a, every one of these things is a CLR object descended from some Avalon class. And they have their properties. If you can bring up this project, you know, I said before, it's an MS Build project. You can open that project he's got right now in Visual Studio and start coding.
In fact, yes, we can do it. We can do it. I can say, I'm going to save my project to disk, you know, and then I can go to explore my project, which basically just opens my thing. You can see there's a XAML CS file, it's C Sharp, and then there's a CS project. If I open this in, I think it'll just open it in C Sharp Express. Yes. I can then wait. I can open my same XAML file, just a different dashboard on top of the same system, but this time it's for developers. And then I can open my C# files here, and then start, you know.
Now, are there workflow tools in here? For instance, if you have a team of artists or a team of coders, is there a way to?
We don't have anything like that in Sparkle. That would be probably a V2 feature. You can certainly use, you know, we use source code control. Manuel checks in with the source code control tools. Be something that we'd love to do is get the Visual Studio team services type sort of stuff. Yeah, I don't know if it'll make it in V1.
Cool. So a whole bunch of other people came in while we were doing that demo. Introduce yourselves. Come on. Who are you?
Hi, I'm Kenny Young. I'm an architect on Sparkle.
Okay.
Hi, Jim Love. I was hired to make some demos for PDC.
Excellent.
Hi, I'm Henry Swisrell. I'm an architect on Sparkle.
Wow. So we've gotten a pretty good overview of what Sparkle is, what the, what do you call it, design environment looks like, and what else is there to talk. I mean, I know there's a lot of stuff underneath.
Have you shown
here.
Any of the 3D stuff?
A little bit, yeah. Sort of animation of the 3D. Yeah.
Okay. So one of the things we were trying to do is 3D can be pretty intimidating for most designers, and the two communities have been kind of separated. One of the things we've been trying to do is make 3D disappear, so it feels like a 2D kind of environment, and that it's not this big chasm you've got across to be able to get 3D into your UI in some fashion.
Right.
And I'm sure Manuel's shown some wonderful examples of that. He's very good at it.
Actually, how can we make like a piece of paper flip or something like that? What are the axis? How do you rotate something on an axis?
Let's take a look at it.
Okay.
Okay. So here, you know, I was just showing in Shop Express you can have...
We have an image.
You talk about. But if I open... This is the thing running. If I go in Sparkle itself, I'll create a new project yet again. And I will, I can import an image to my project. I have a Vista logo, and I'll add it in my project. So now my project's palette, I can see that I have a Vista ping resource that will be compiled as packed as a resource that I can code against or whatever.
Okay.
I can right click on this, say insert into scene. So now I've got this baby here, and Avalon has really good resize, like resampling of images in real time. Like the performance you get there is just off the hook. Like me as a designer, I'm excited about this. You know, I'm used to just really chunky like animations and, you know, rendering out as videos, but in real time you can get cool stuff. So anyways, I got this guy and I can turn it into a 3D object now. Make image 3D. What it does is gonna create a Now you don't see the difference. So that's actually what Henry was talking about. We, you know, we don't want to make it, hey, you're in 3D now, go away. It's more like, click on it, try. So what's going to happen is, just like we can resize 2D objects, you can go and use the camera orbit tool, for example, and click on any 3D world and do some kind of a, you can zoom in, zoom out, and you can rotate in 3D. Basically, you're orbiting with the camera itself. So anyways, if I go there and start selecting my object, if I go inside my viewport 3D, which is like a 2D surface that is the result view of a 3D camera. Okay. So you can have multiple 3D worlds on top of each other that don't intersect into each other.
Okay.
Just like you're like.
That's a little weird.
Well, think about it. It's like you'd have the background of your application may have some really spiky backgrounds behind, and when the spikes go through here, you don't want your buttons to get cut. Yeah. So they're on two different planes, basically.
Okay.
So this is, if I select a 3D object, we get a different kind of adorners, as we call them. They're handles that go Y, Z, and X for rotation, for example. Okay, so you can do it separately like this. We have position as well, position handles, so you can go and start doing kind of translation. All these changes could be recorded in the timeline. No coding is necessary. You could do.
Oh, so you can just turn. How do you do that? You just turn on the timeline recorder?
So now, if I can say, now right now I'm in the default state of my application, which is, we call it known. It means just default properties assigned to objects.
Yeah.
You know? And if I go into the unloaded timeline, which is just a timeline that has the unloaded just start trigger on top,
yeah.
I go in here, I can record any kind of change. So, so the object itself, I select the object itself, I can go to 1 second, for example, and start rotating it like this and scaling it in Y, I can move it like this. So now what's going to happen if I square it back and forth?
Oh, it recorded all that like a macro.
Yeah.
Here, do that again. So you're playing back the recording.
Yeah, if I press play, in fact, it's not going to show up anymore. Hold on. Actually, clicked on that, made something invisible. Yeah. So now, yeah, you go. What we can do is look at the XAML. All that stuff is recorded in XAML. Okay. Now, when you're a designer and you're building XAML, developer could code this in C#. The result is the same at the end.
Yeah.
So we're not just giving them like a binky to play with. It's the real, you know, it's the car, it's the keys for the car kind of thing. Yeah. Okay. So there you go. So here.
this is so cool.
Hey, what do I have now in my XAML universe storyboard? It has a rotation 3D animation using keyframes. You don't want to type this by hand.
No.
You could, you know, if you get Visual Studio with a.
If you're Raymond Chen or something.
But anyways, let's go.
There's
back.
There's only a couple of Raymond Chens in the world, but I think they all work at Microsoft.
So there you go. So it's kind of like
this is awesome.
You could see a little bit. That texture could be a live data-bound object. You could see like the currently selected person's face in an address book or something like that. And you get like.
Can you map a video to an object like that? Does Spark let you do that?
Next video.
Next
Channel 9 interview.
Okay, so not in this build, but in a future
build. Well, you can do it. It's just we haven't hooked up the UI quite much on top of this yet.
Okay.
Yeah, next build.
Cool. What else do I need to know? How do I distribute? So I built this killer, you know, Sparkle app. I have you know, some C# files there. I have some XAML files there. I have some bitmaps and resources. How do I give this to my users to look at?
Well, what you can do is deploy the application, and you can tell them to be a web browser application,
okay, let me
for
close
example.
The store. Come on in.
Okay.
Let's get it. We're fixing a bug down the hall or something.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell my radio button list application here to be a web browser application instead of being just an application that...
A web browser application, you mean WP. An application that fits into IE7, right? Or
I don't know exactly how Avalon's going to... you know, manage that, but basically there's a distribution of a partial trust application, you know. That
but this isn't, to be clear, this is not W3C standard XHTML code that we're...
No.
It's Avalon.
Yes, it's
Avalon.
Just app on a web server that can be deployed this way.
Yeah.
So if I go to my project, I can say deployment and security. I'll tell them, you know what, deploy as not installed application with full trust, say web browser application with partial trust, and there's all kind of cool like version number, automatic. You can say installation URL so that you get a support link so that people, when they open the application on their machine, it gets, there's an update available.
Yeah.
You can put an
and
update
this is
somewhere.
Using the click once technology?
It's click once. It is Tinker ones, yeah.
You get solder everything.
Yes. No binky, the keys.
No binky. is that your theme now?
Yeah, I'm a dad, so I know about binkies. I find them in my pockets all the time. Every man should have a binky for the hard times. So if I press F5 now, I can see that he asked me for a password.
Yeah.
And then I can go to, it should open in the browser.
So now it's compiling it.
Yeah, it opens, and actually I have IE7 installed. And now there you go. I have my application and IE7 installed. And then you can click on this guy. And so this could be a web application. But it could be like, it basically has the full power of .NET, you know, Avalon, everything, 3D, 2D, video, text, right. Data bound. Bum.
Now, when it compiled, what does it look like on the hard drive? Is
on the hard drive,
is there a manifest? Is there an exe? What is the actual?
Let's take a look at it.
Okay.
So there's a bin folder that was created.
Okay.
Then it went through. Control style. Oh, hold on. I'm in the wrong folder here.
Okay. It is a pre-release version.
Yes. That's pre-release. All right.
Dead. All right. We'll have to cut that out. Can you get to it so I can cut this out?
It may come back, yeah. That computer, for some reason, in the past few days has been just hanging for a few seconds and coming back a minute later.
All right. So it'll... It has a manifest. What does it look like when it's actually? Yeah.
There you go. We're here. So I have my folder with my source files. I can go to my bin folder, release, and now I have a WBA file, so Windows Browser application. I believe that that loads the manifest or something like that.
Yep.
So.
So do I put this up on my web? Do I put all this stuff up on my web server?
I believe so.
Yeah. And then the WBA is what I actually link to in the URL?
I think so. And then you have some MIME types to set up on the server. And
okay.
I believe they support any servers.
Yep. Yep.
So any web server with the right MIME type should be able to serve these to clients.
And when you built the project, you can decide to be a web app or a normal standalone
yes. So
Windows-style app.
Yeah, if you're building a new Word, a new 3D Studio Max, I don't know, a large application, you know, we're here. Like, this is not just to make, you know, little stock tickers. This is the real deal. But then you create a full trust application. You have access to disk and all that. You know, you can have a start menu install and all that.
Very
yeah.
Cool. What else should I know about?
The idea is there are a lot of features that are going to be coming. The idea is that they're just normal. They're not this special thing. It's not this scary 3D stuff that's Maya or any of the other modeling packages.
Yep.
It's easy to use, straightforward. You saw Manuel build a number of things where they were flipping buttons and all that sort of stuff. It just comes, and it's just there.
Now, as a designer, why would I use this technology versus other technology? We won't mention the technologies, but there's other technologies that I could use to build an application.
So as I just said, if you want to work on a team who's working on the real client application, something that millions of people are going to download, install, stress, performance-wise, something that needs to be quality and all that. And, you'll be working on the next WinXX, which is WinFX, and so you need a tool that actually targets this platform. So you need that. Like, if you want to work in this kind of, you know, development teams,
yeah.
It's kind of a new market in a way. It's not over something else. If you want to make web applications and whatever, like at this point, there's definitely solutions out there.
Yeah.
But building real applications, you know, the new WinVista platform and stuff, there's no other product at the moment. So, you know, pretty much, you know, you use
that.
These
are it.
It's like a new weapon. It's like a new weapon arsenal. It's not really replacing much. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Cool. And who are you?
I'm Kenny Young.
Yeah, we met you before.
Yeah.
So, are you going to show us something that Emmanuel hasn't shown us?
I think when I came over, Emmanuel was showing you a very little bit about layout, and I was going to just go into a little more detail on that and show the sorts of things that we're doing to make it so that somebody who has design experience can really be a part of the team and make the designs that are actually used instead of just making concepts that somebody else recodes later.
Okay.
We want it to be something that the designer actually does work.
Yep. Show me.
Okay. So I'm going to steal a little bit from a demo that Manuel's going to do a little bit later,
okay.
But I did the demo first, so I'm going
to
get that
By the way,
going.
We have 15 minutes of tape left, so if you're planning other things out in the hall for me.
I'll do it. I'll do it real quick.
That'll help me.
I'll do it real quick. Cool. So I'm going to make a little mock-up of Windows Messenger here.
Yeah.
On this application here. So I've just gone and I've resized the scene a little bit, and I'm going to do this all with rectangles just for speed. I could do this with other objects, but okay, I don't want it to look quite like that. But I'll just fix it. Okay, pick some nice flat color there. That might be a toolbar sort of area on the top. That might be a conversation area. This part over here might be the message that I'm going to produce. And then I will just throw in a button just for fun. I'll just drag over a button right there. So I might make a mock-up that looks kind of like this. And if I in other products, if I gave this to my development staff, they would go take this thing and they would say, okay, well, to make it work in a layout, we would have to make all sorts of changes to it to make it so that it would really behave when it resizes and things like that. And we'll need to make a table, and we'll need to do all those sorts of things. Yep. And we'll just have to do it over. And so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to show you how easy it is for us to just fix that and do it right.
Okay.
So basically right here, if I were to press F5, and we'll be making a lot of projects.
He needs a faster computer.
So if I
the
take
designers
this...
always get the slow stuff. Right?
If I take this project and I run it, you see, all I did was I drew some boxes and I drew a button, and now when I resize it, it actually works and does the sort of thing that I expect it to do.
And you got that out of the box automatically.
You saw, I didn't do anything. Yep. I didn't have to do anything at all. There are some other changes that I could make to this, where if somebody said, okay, that was nice, but can you put a background behind it? If I had needed to make some sort of intricate background behind it, if I was doing this in another application, I'd have to start over, I'd have to slice that thing into pieces, and figure out all sorts of other stuff I'd have to do. Now, if I want to put something in the back, I'll just put it in the back, and I'll show you that right now.
Right.
So, somebody says, you know, I was kind of hoping that you'd make some sort of rounded rectangle that goes in the back.
Could you add some logic that as the UI gets bigger, it adds a second column or does some other thing other than just stretch out?
There are some clever things that can be done. Some of the things you're talking about are a little bit more esoteric that we can handle, but I'll show you some neat stuff that we can do very, very shortly. So I take this rectangle here, I make it some other color, who knows, and I send it to back. Actually, heck, I'll even make it a linear gradient just because I can. Something like that. That's good enough. And make it some rounded rectangle sort of thing. If I've been asked to do this sort of task in some other application, I would have to go take this particular gradient, make it some sort of image, and then save that, and make that the background, and all that stuff. Here I just get to draw it, and I'm done. And it just works. What I can also do here is I can say, well, if this was really Messenger, you'd want to have some sort of ability to drag this area up and down and make it so that I do more or less area to the conversation.
Yeah.
So I can add that sort of thing right here without any code or anything like that. All I'm going to do is I'm going to go here and I'm going to say, you know, I want to split this into parts.
Where
just by hovering over this area.
Just by
right
hovering
here.
Over the over that white that edge.
Just by hovering over that, I made a little grid line here.
Okay.
And I can adjust where things are going to be. And this right here is a design time control. As you can see, it's not really on the scene.
Yep.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a little splitter control.
Okay.
Where I'm just going to draw the splitter control out. I don't have to make a new container. I don't have to rejigger anything I just did. I've just drawn out a splitter. And I'm going to say, by the way, I want the area over here to be roughly fixed in size.
Okay.
This one here is going to stretch with the application size. This one is not.
Okay.
And now all I have to do is press F5. Just give us a second.
Yep.
Okay. So now I have an application that when I resize it, the bottom part stays fixed, the other part doesn't.
Do that against it.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then there's also a splitter right here. When I move the splitter, it adjusts all that stuff. And I can still continue to resize the application. And I'm starting to get something that works really like people expect. Then, right now the splitter is sort of invisible, but I could just as easily change the color. I'll just change the background color to be something more visible.
Yep.
And there, now it's visible. I could change the style of that splitter so that it could be, you know, an ellipse or anything like that, or a large set of objects, and I could just make all that stuff look anything like I want, and I can do it without having to ever call a developer to make it work.
This is awesome. So. I can see we can go all night on how to build all sorts of different kinds of UIs. You probably have 50 samples.
There's data binding next.
The names of your tape length, I'll let somebody else have a turn.
Okay, cool. This is awesome. Are you guys going to be giving classes like on the webcast to learn more of the techniques from the guys?
I don't know how that works yet.
Yeah. Well, I'll set you up. My wife runs MSDN webcast. So,
you happy to do it.
Classes. It's cool stuff.
Oh,
you brought a big old laptop.
Oh, yeah.
So who's next?
I can talk about data mining stuff.
Yeah, so how do I hook this thing up to, how do I hook this up to some sort of database or something so I can see some text
there's
in there?
Kind of element like well, Avalon supports several data sources, and we've kind of concentrated on a few of those XML data sources and CLR objects for this release.
Sorry.
And I can get to that through the data panel, so let me show you where that comes up.
Okay.
This will let you add data sources. So I'm going to add an XML data source here.
Okay.
And we have a few of them sitting around.
There's one that's right here. It's pretty good.
Should I use this one?
Yeah, there's a bunch of accessories for XML.
Okay, so I'll add this guy. And now he's in my scene. And if I want, I can explore the data source and see what fields it has. And I get all the type information.
These don't work too well with game one. They're empty.
So okay.
Accessories, yeah.
So if I wanted to, now I can start to make a control. And the control's properties will be populated from the data source.
Okay.
And that will refresh automatically. So if the data source updates, then the UI will update automatically. You don't have to write any code to do that. So you can get some really complex behavior almost for free.
Very cool.
So let's say we want a collection of all these accessories. Well, I can just take this accessory field, I can drag it out onto my application here, and I can create a new control. So I'm going to make a list box. So we're just going to list out all the possible accessories.
Okay.
And we want to bind to the item source because that provides data to the list box. And now we have this thing that lets us define a data template, which just says how the data is going to be shown. So we have a little preview here of what that's going to look like.
Okay.
And let's say I'm going to change this guy to use an image control. And so now the image will actually show up. And when we're done, we get this list box full of all those accessories that are in the data source, and it's displayed in a custom manner. We have images to show the images in that data source, and we have just text blocks to show the text that's in there.
Yep.
And this data is all live, so if I go and I change the XML file, then this will update automatically.
And can I change the orientation of those images? Or?
Yeah, so we can go into the template editing features if we want to do that. So we just go into edit the item template. We'll walk in there, and now we can select the image, and you want to rotate it?
So all right, move it to the left a little bit.
Oh, so then we should be able to go to the property grid, where you can set... The property grid lets you get to everything that we don't expose elsewhere in the UI.
Okay.
So we should be able to find alignment. So our horizontal alignment, I can go down here, and it shows all the values. You don't have to guess and type in anything, and we'll just set that to be left aligned, and then all the images show up to be left aligned.
Wow. And you can rotate those images.
Oh, yeah. So if we rotate, they'll all go.
Oh, wow.
The video preview in there. The video's in there.
3D? You put 3D in there. Yeah, so when you take data binding and combine it with these templating features, you can really do a lot of cool stuff. Like, this guy, this template, says how we're going to lay out all the data that's there. And by working on one, you apply those changes to every single item in your collection.
This is awesome. And you can hook up to SQL Server or...
You have to write some code to wrap between the SQL Server and your data source, but yeah, you can do
it. I'm sure somebody will do that pretty fast.
The cool
thing is two elements can be bound together, so you can bind like the height of a guy to the height of another guy, and when one guy gets resized, the other guy resizes as well. So it's like binding element to two elements. So like a slider to the font size of a text box without any code whatsoever, just by point and click.
Right.
And it's very powerful.
Is there any performance tips that you've learned,
for the data binding?
For anything in Sparkle.
John has a whole slide deck, PDC, that he'll be doing. So we'll have a lot of stuff for that.
Okay. Maybe we'll come back and then more 200 level, because we're just getting the surface of this tool. We have an hour to shoot here.
Should I turn
it
over to
Pete? We can finish off a few.
You can stay there. I'll just get in there.
Actually, I have to run.
Okay, thank you very much. This is awesome stuff. I bet you can change fonts and do all
anything you want. It's completely all the tools of Sparkle at your disposal for editing the UI you create from data sources.
Can you throw data into columns? Can you make some sort of column layout?
Yeah, we could change the layout here so that instead of going vertically, it would go horizontally. There's a lot of controls that Avalon provides to show data, to lay it out in different manners and whatnot. So there's a lot of power there.
There's people jumping in behind the door.
It's all fun. So this is our our demo laptop. So this guy only gets to come out at Christmas. We've got a couple of demos that we've had some folks work on. Over a little bit of time on Sparkle. So this is our little pet golf cart, and we can pan our camera around. So we see different views of the golf cart. So one of the things I think is going to be interesting is being able to play with kind of 2D, 3D stuff. So here we can see our cones. We've got some collision detection with these guys as well. So if I can drive my golf cart through my cones, we'll see that we can actually knock them out of the way. And I think people are just going to have a hell of a lot of fun with something that's, you know, relatively easy or easier to code against than the stuff they've been able to do before. And the fun thing with this is if we shut that guy down and go back into our favorite Sparkle project, is that we can actually open that guy up. So if I go over to my desktop and I go into the golf cart simple thing, then we see we have a normal VS project, so I could do this in VS as well, as we've shown earlier on. Pull that guy open. And there's our little golf cart game that we were just looking at as something running. I can play around, I can zoom in, we can double click, so we can select 3D stuff in here. You know, I can grab my cone, I can rotate it around. You know, the golf cart itself is a model as well that's inside of here, so you can grab that. You can zoom up, so we can take a look. We have adorners on the pieces of the golf cart, so I can actually go in and I can select the roof of the golf cart if I wanted to, and move that around if I wanted to do that. All the 2D graphics in here as well are all drawn inside of Sparkle. So if we look at this guy here, our little speedometer, we have this little double click gesture that means I want to get inside of something and select it. And then over here, we have an appearance palette way down here where I can see all the little gradient stops that are being used. And if I adjust one of these guys here, you can see how my gradient changes. And a lot of designers do a lot of cool work with the gradients. The other fun thing, I don't know if we've showed yet, is a nice little zooming palette feature. Yep. So we can zoom stuff in and out. So
zoom, we can zoom the whole app in.
Yeah, we can zoom the whole app in as well. So, you know, you see that, you know, already here we're able to do some fairly cool and sophisticated looking bits of graphics. You know, if I click in on the reverse thing, and again, you can see it's just a gradient that's defined in here. It's a bunch of stops. And this is pretty typical UI that a designer would know how to play around with. So if we move on out of there. So to say, these things are just all built in Sparkle. You know, they're bits of content put together. This is another kind of app that we're going to show at a PDC that's kind of a sales tool. There's some data binding in here. So this is actually a tab control over here. And each tab has a list box inside of it. So this kind of shows, you can take existing Windows controls, you can have your keyboard shortcuts.
Yeah.
So it just works. You know, I can do multiple selection in there as well, shift select. As I shift select, you see my Vapor is getting more expensive with data bound here. And this is stuff that, you know, if we were going to sit down and write a list box, it just wouldn't work. You know, you spent thousands.
All right, we're back. Sorry, my battery's dead. I've been shooting all day.
So here we have a little data-bound list control as well. So we have these are visual brushes that are being bound into a list here. And then finally here we have some 3D. All this stuff is drawn in acrylic as well. We have a little 3D.
Yeah, in fact, I think they actually showed me how to draw this in acrylic.
Yeah. So the next demo I'm going to show you is our little 3D mount inside here. So this guy here is kind of a ski mountain. We can pan around, we can see different views of the mountain, we have a little temperature gauge. So again, we're combining kind of 2D stuff here, which is very nice kind of vector drawn graphics, with 3D and with text and images and controls. And then what I can do is I can grab my sun, and as I slide my sun around, you see during the day the temperature will change and then the sun will also come out. So this is just basically sliding a light around over.
I'm saying that, sorry.
Yeah, it's sliding a light around. Then we have some other controls down here as well that show the position of things like hospitals. We can bring up all the different ski runs as well. You know, so it's a nice example of what would be, I think, a very different looking Windows app that again was just, you know, probably about a week and a half's worth of work. And this model here was done in Maya, was imported as a .obj file as well. So yeah, we can pull in 3D, which I think Manuel probably showed you earlier on, and then we can just add animations on top of that. These animations in this case are done in code, and the sun in this case is also done in code and generated, and then it's just bound out to the
slider control. Now the screen's flickering a little bit. Is that
you know, I have no idea why it's flickering. It doesn't normally. doesn't normally flicker. I sure will edit that out later.
No editing.
So other bits and other bits.
You get to see why it's still
other bits. Other bits and pieces here. We have a nice kind of Macintosh style. Say that? I just did say that. We have a nice little icon bar there. These things here are splitters. This is a grid control.
Steve Jobs said we're copying him.
this guy here. So we have a tool.
Hi, Steve.
We have a tool that builds all this.
I actually met him in the street 2 weeks ago.
Really? Tell you not to buy his book, huh?
Yeah.
So this thing here, so the reflection is a visual brush.
Yeah.
So what you do is you create a brush, you bind the contents of one thing to the brush, and then you basically get a reflection for free. Then the guy inside of here is a grid control. My colleague Amir Keller, who's out today, sick actually, wrote this thing. It's a grid and it has a little hyperbolic effect. As you mouse over it, minimizes the size
now,
of other things.
Now, algorithmically, how did you guys do that?
So literally what it is a mouse over, and when it goes over something, there's a bunch of grid rows between each one of these things. And what it does is it apportions the space out to each one of the grids. Initially, they're all star sized, they're all equal.
It's not too much code either, which is pretty amazing.
Really?
Like, you put it together quickly and send it
to we can look at the code. The bar chart up here.
Well, we only have 1 minute left.
Yeah. Okay. The bar chart up here is actually a list box, which is each one of these rectangles here is bound to the height.
Yep.
And, this is, a list box with selection in it. And then that's also bound to a control over here where I can choose different people and look at different bars. So here we're kind of playing around with some data binding stuff. This is another one of Manuel's demos that we'll be showing at PDC. Game of Solitaire here, which is always a big winner.
Yep.
So we can we can drop our cards around. If we resize this, we can see we've got a nice layout system in the background as well. So vectors, I think the interesting thing is that it scales. We've got a little bit of a perf issue there because there's quite a lot of stuff going on in here. Graphics were drawn in acrylic again as well. So we can see the kind of richness of stuff. We've got some layouts as we drag and drop things around. Again, this was a day's work by somebody to do all of that stuff. Then probably finally we have a little program here that does mapping.
Well, thanks. I think we have like 20 seconds left.
Cool.
So thank you very much for
our to
first
see you
look
all at PDC.
Sparkle. Well, these guys will see it at home because you'll be on stage at the PDC when this video comes up.
That's right.
But thank you very much, and we're looking forward to coming back here and getting a much more in-depth view, because we saw in an hour, we just barely touched
the
surface.
We could spend an hour on every feature in this thing.
Yes.
You go from drawing tools, layout, animation, 3D, 2D, coding,
control styling,
data binding, templating. There's a whole lot of features in this platform. So it should be fun.
Thank you very much.